Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, when was the last time you were astral traveling? Last night? Night before? Actually, very likely. It's very likely that you don't remember it. We do a lot of this and we don't remember it. It's a different part of who we are. And we go off and come back. And then there are some people actually who know they're going and know they've been there and have had a good time and remember all of it. And we're going to talk to one of those people. And it's quite a journey he's on. It's wonderful to interview astral travelers who actually write books about it. And I have two wonderful books I'm sitting with right now, looking at, that I've read and I really love. And we're going to talk to the author of Dancing on a Stamp, one book, and the other is Dancing Forever with Spirit. And the author is Garnet Schulhauser. Garnet, welcome.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on your show.
Sure. I'm so glad that you could join us because it's fascinating. You know, these aren't big books. They're easy to read, and yet they're packed with information. So many different experiences you've had with a friend of yours named Albert. Can you tell us a little bit about Albert?
Yes, Albert is one of my spirit guides, and I first met him back in the days when I was still practicing law, and I went for a stroll on the street one afternoon, and all of a sudden, this homeless man jumps out in front of me, a very different homeless man. I mean, he looked like a homeless man, but he had these amazing, dazzling, sparkling blue eyes that were penetrating deep into my soul, and at the same time sending this wave of pure, unconditional love towards me that was infusing my whole body with an amazing sense of peace and security. And so, to make the story short, I eventually ended up sitting down on a bench and talking to this man, and it turned out he revealed early on that he was actually one of my spirit guides disguised as a homeless man. And that led to a dialogue I had with him over the next few months and eventually led to me writing my first book, Dancing on a Stamp. And I wrote that book at his request. His name was Albert, because he wanted everyone in the world to be able to have access to his revelations and the truth that he, you know, told me during our conversation. So that's how I first met him. And in my second encounter with him was entirely different, because there he took me for a series of astral travels to other planets in the universe, to other dimensions, to see amazing things on the spirit side. And that led me to writing my second book, Dancing Forever with Spirit.
You know, it's amazing, and it's a good thing you're a lawyer. There's some grounding in that. And so you question things and you look at them carefully. And yet it's amazing when you find yourself traveling to other planets and other dimensions. And it's kind of like that Christmas story with Scrooge being taken around to different Christmases and different conditions, and you certainly had that opportunity. Your books are filled with different conditions that you were exposed to, both positive and negative.
And right, and the reason that Albert took, I should just explain sort of how the astral travel came about. I had in my first series of encounters with Albert, it was a question and answer sort of session, a dialogue, after he had first appeared to me as a homeless man in physical form, after that we communicated just by telepathy, so he didn't actually show up anymore. Then there was a period there of a couple of months when I didn't hear from him anymore. I was beginning to wonder what had happened, and all of a sudden I woke up one night in my bed, and I looked towards the bedroom door, and there I saw this sort of ghost-like, ethereal figure standing there. And as it moved closer to the foot of my bed, I could see it was my old friend Albert as the homeless man, except he was in astral form. He wasn't in physical form. And so he said to me, you know, we're about to start our second set of adventures, and I believe that a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I'm actually going to take you to different places so you can see for yourself and you can write about him in your second book. So then he just reached out, grabbed my hand, pulled my astral body out of my physical body, and I turned around and looked, and my physical body was still laying sound asleep in bed beside my wife and my little dog. And he just led me up through the ceiling, up through the clouds, and we sort of stopped and hovered above our beautiful planet so I could look back and see Earth as, you know, some of the astronauts have been able to see it, really amazingly beautiful. And then from there, we began our journey by him taking me to the spirit side. And that's the first time I can ever recall astral traveling. And as you mentioned in your introduction, Peter, we all astral travel every night, except we don't usually remember it. This time I was allowed to remember it, and it was for the purpose of allowing me to write about my adventures in my second book. So really quite a fascinating journey.
So many of us would love to have Alberts of our own. And we certainly do have spirit guides. And yet, this is a path that you chose, obviously, well, not obviously, but likely before you were born. Maybe you decided to choose it after that. Usually, and you talk about our life plans in the book, that you were taught a lot of this from Albert, how we work with a council of wise ones to come up with an understanding of what growth we need in a future life, and we plan that life. And we also plan what contributions we can make. And perhaps you and Albert got together before you were born and agreed that you would meet this way.
Yeah, I did ask Albert about that. He said we did plan this before I was born, before I incarnated. And he said that, you know, he and I had several other lives together on Earth before. In this life, he decided that we both decided together that he would be one of my spirit guides, and that at the appropriate point in time, he would appear to me and meet with me, and we'd have a dialogue and a series of astral travels. So it was all planned beforehand. I didn't, of course, I don't remember any of that, as none of us remember what's in our life plans particularly. That's by design, so that we otherwise it would be too easy for us on this planet. But Albert did said we had planned it beforehand, so I'm just sort of playing out the script as it was intended. And I'm glad that I'm in this role, because I really think it's for me as a human being, it's really quite amazing to have met Albert and talked to him and gone on these trips with him.
Right.
Very, very enlightening.
And yet we are born into a template that has opportunities for us. I use the human design system. People use astrology. There are birth cards. There are all different ways of numerology, all different ways of understanding the type of personality we're born into that might encourage us to become astral travelers.
Yeah, we do definitely plan out the major aspects of our lives, as you mentioned. And but the thing is, as you know, is that our life plans don't sort of etch our lives in stone, because we have free will when we're here, and we don't remember what we put in our life plan. So we can oftentimes stray off course. So we don't always live our lives exactly as we have planned. In fact, most of the time we don't, just because we have free will.
And also the conditioning around us can influence that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's so many other factors. There's other people who have free will who are interacting with us, our own free will, you know, the conditions on our planet, and there's so many different factors that come into play. So it'd be rare if you actually totally followed your plan and your life plan. You hope to hit the major points, and certainly, like with me, meeting with Albert was a major point. And that all turned out okay, but there's a lot of other things, details in between that aren't always fulfilled. And sometimes with some people, you go way off course, and that's the reason for a lot of the crime and hardship and conflicts in our world, is because some souls just go way off, and they let their negative emotions run amok, and we end up with a sort of in a lot of senses a violent world. In many, many, many places. So it's not, you know, it'd be nice if we could all just sort of run through our life plans as we had planned, but then that'll make things too easy. And this is a very difficult school, so
right.
it's intended to be difficult.
But that's the whole idea of this dancing on the stamp, is that so many people don't understand their consciousness or their reality beyond a small stamp. And many other people can dance in a ballroom. And so we have a choice. And I've always said, though, that we, and Albert talks about that with you in the book, is that we really come here for important lessons, for growth and opportunity. So we really do come here for the struggle, so we can advance our souls through the wisdom of that struggle. But we do come into very limited consciousness. This planet, humanity, and Albert introduced you to beings with much more advanced consciousness than humans.
Yeah, we consider ourselves to be very advanced, but compared to some civilizations on other planets, we're not particularly. We do have some advanced technology, but unfortunately our emotional intelligence hasn't kept up, and that's why we still have so many negative emotions on our planet, which results in wars and genocide and murders and so on. And we need to sort of curtail that. And that was one of the main messages that the Council of Wise Ones gave to me when I met with them on the spirit side. Elbert took me there to meet with them. And the Council of Wise Ones is this body of very wise, advanced souls whose job it is to oversee the incarnations on Earth, to sort of help us plan, all souls plan their incarnations on Earth so that we can learn the lessons that's appropriate for us. Anyway, this body, they asked Albert to bring me to them as part of my astral travels, and they said that they're very concerned that humans are at an inflection point, a major inflection point, where we could either end up destroying all life on our planet if we misuse our weapons of mass destruction, or we can turn the corner and sort of move up the vibratory ladder to get to a higher dimension. And so they were very concerned, and they've been trying their best, sending messages through many different channels and many different people, like myself. You're one of them, Peter, whether you know it or not. The message is being spread by many, many people all over the world, and they've really redoubled their efforts to get that out to humans, and they're really concerned that we don't destroy ourselves like some of the other civilizations that preceded us, like Atlantis and Emeria. So we're at a very crucial point. And
this is why I have my radio show.
Exactly. You're one of their messengers, and you're spreading the message just as I am through my books, and everyone has to do their part, and they all appreciate it, and I appreciate what you're doing too, Peter.
Well, yeah, we're all working together, and it's wonderful. Now, let's talk about how powerful we actually can be in creating these changes. What does it take? You know, granted, we can all be responsible for recycling, refusing to eat meat that comes from, animals that are poorly treated, and all kinds of different ways that we can insist on the planet taking care of itself better, and then we can become very politically active or very socially active in carrying the flag for different particular changes that we want. And we all have to do our bit separately and in our own way to do that. And that's one thing, is finding purpose on this path. The other is understanding how we can change anything from using consciousness. What is it that we're not able to do at this point because of our limited brain capacity or limited DNA? We really aren't as powerful as we'd like to be. So what do we need to do to hold more power to represent the greater forces of the universe in better ways?
Well, we need to focus our thoughts on what we are trying to accomplish. Because thoughts are very powerful, as you know, Peter. Those thoughts are really waves of energy that span out when you think them out into the universe. And focused thoughts are way more powerful than just sort of scattered thoughts, just like a laser beam is more powerful than the beam from a flashlight. And there have been a lot of cases in human history where some of the masters have been able to focus their thoughts and tap into the energy of the universe to do what has been termed as miracles. Some of the miracles in the Bible, like Jesus, walking on water and turning water into wine and Moses parting the Red Sea. Those guys were masters incarnating it on in human body on earth who learned to focus their thoughts. And that's something that we're all capable of, because you've all heard the story that we only use 10% of our brains. If we learn to use more of them, we too could perform miracles like that. But in the short term, taking the next step, it's really a case of trying to focus our thoughts on what we can do, take baby steps one at a time to make our world a better place. So as you mentioned, making sure that we conduct ourselves in an appropriate manner, not unduly polluting our planet and not being cruel to animals or cruel to each other, that's the first step, so we can lead by example. The next one, of course, is to spread our message to others, to our neighbors, our friends, our family, in your case, to the people who are your listeners, and try to make people aware of the fact that we have to strive to sort of move up the evolutionary ladder before we destroy ourselves, and that's what we need to focus on. And we have to learn to embrace love and compassion and reject our negative emotions. And that's a goal, not easily met, but it's something that we can all achieve if we all pull together.
Right. And so the idea is to figure out how to express ourselves in a larger capacity. And I teach intuition, and it's really about generating vibes and wavelengths, brain waves, that we can raise our frequencies to a level of higher consciousness that way.
Yeah, that's where we have to go. And unfortunately, there's no magic bullet to get us there. It would be nice if we could, but we have to just sort of struggle with it. We each have to struggle on an individual basis, and then we have to try to help everyone else focus on where we should be going. And the ultimate goal is to increase our vibrations, as you said, Peter, and move up to a higher dimension. And in my second book, I actually describe a visit I had with Albert to Earth in a higher dimension, the new Earth. And there it was just an amazing sort of a life, an idyllic civilization there, where there were no negative emotions, no crime, no need for money, nobody needed to have a job. Everything was looked after, and there the people could just pursue their evolution by acquiring wisdom and knowledge. And so it's a great place that we should aspire to go to, but we have to work at it to get there. It just doesn't nobody comes and waves a magic wand and says, away you go.
Well,
that's unfortunate.
Those are life forms, but we also have the higher dimensions that we're going to go to anyway, where all of that is true.
Oh, yes, yeah, so we will all end up back in the spirit side. And the spirit side, of course, is the highest dimension, and it's even better than the new Earth, because the new Earth is still in a physical plane, just a higher vibration than where we are right now. So we'll all end up at the spirit side no matter what happens. It's just that we should really try to do our best to help humanity move up the vibration ladder while we're here. But if we fail, when our physical bodies die, we go back to the spirit side where we can regroup, take a look at what we did, what mistakes we made, and then plan our next incarnation if we so choose.
Right, and there's also more growth anytime you choose a lifetime, wherever it is. So we do like to keep choosing lifetimes.
Yeah, absolutely, because we sort of have a moral imperative as souls to grow in advance. And nobody's forcing us to do so. We don't have timetables or deadlines, but we all want to do that. It's just something that we feel is right.
Right, so we choose opportunities, and they can be wonderful. They can be the new Earth, and where everybody's happy. And because out there, in higher dimensions, things are all an illusion, as they are everywhere, but they're not as dense as they are in these material lifetimes. So we come to these material lifetimes because of the density that we can appreciate. There's actually joy in swimming in a swimming pool or the ocean and riding ocean waves and, all kinds of wonderful things that we can test ourselves as athletically and in all kinds of ways we can grow and mentally, and it's wonderful. And yet out there on the higher dimensions, it's wonderful too. So as you say, we have our choice. Nothing is imposed on us.
That's right. And we incarnate on Earth just because, as you say, there's many, many challenges. It's a very difficult school. And we could have gone to the new Earth. Not as many challenges there, so we wouldn't grow and evolve quite as fast. And so as Albert has said, everyone who's a human now on Earth should pat themselves in the back because it took a lot of courage to come into this very difficult school, excuse me, as a human. But we did it by our own choice because we really wanted to experience things that aren't available anywhere else but on Earth in this dimension.
Right. So it builds our light in ways that other places can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so let me ask you, there's a question that comes up in the book, and you know, how powerful is the law of abundance?
The law of abundance. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, in other words, there was, years ago there was a film called The Secret, and it said all you have to do is want something, and automatically you'll get it if you want it strong enough. If your vibes are positive enough, you can have all the abundance you want.
Oh, yeah, it's often called the law of attraction. Yeah, Albert said that.
You're right. The law of attraction has to do with abundance. And that's why I was confusing the two, because people want to attract abundance.
Well, the law basically works. I mean, it works perfectly on the spirit side because you can have whatever you want just by thinking that you want it, and it's there. On Earth, doesn't work quite as well because we have limited resources. Things move a lot slower on Earth, there are conflicting thoughts. So that if everyone wants to have a certain thing, and there's not enough of them, then everyone can't have it. Whereas on the spirit side, you can. There's no shortage of anything. And the other thing that limits the getting or manifesting your thoughts on Earth is that oftentimes your soul doesn't agree with what your mind wants. So there's a bit of a conflict there. So your mind is saying, I want to have a red Ferrari to drive, and your soul is saying, well, no, that's not a good idea because you might drive it too fast and kill yourself, before you finish your life here. And so there's often a conflict between your soul and your mind, and that's why in a lot of cases your thoughts aren't manifested.
It won't fulfill your purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Because your soul knows what it wants to experience. You don't know that, and so your mind is often running off and thinking, I want things that just don't make any sense
exactly.
for your life purpose.
Yeah. I used to teach classes in the law of attraction years ago when that was so popular. And I always said to people, you can have anything you want as long as it's in the design of your life versus anyone else's.
Yeah, and that's the big mystery because you don't know what your soul has designed for your life. So, that's why it could be frustrating. Like, how come I'm not getting what I want? Well, maybe it's because it's not for your higher good.
Exactly. And so another thing is, who are we? We have souls, and we have our identity in this life. And there are a lot of people, for instance, when I die, I want to go out there and meet have a reunion with my parents who are long gone. And I expect them to be there. But their soul has had many lifetimes, and their soul has many different identities. So who am I actually going to be meeting out there?
Well, according to Albert, you'll be meeting your welcoming group, which would be your parents and grandparents and other relatives who have deceased. They will be there, and it doesn't matter if they have since their decease, incarnated into another body or whatever, because every night when you sleep, your soul leaves and goes back to the spirit side. So they will be there regardless of what has happened since then. And I experienced this on my first astral trip to the spirit side. I was greeted there by my mother and father and brother and aunts and uncles and grandparents, and it was a very amazing, welcoming party, just pure unconditional love and hugs all around. And it was, and that was just sort of a preview of what will happen when I die and cross over, because they will be there, and they're there for everyone. And who's in your welcoming party depends on sort of on who you are, but they'll always be there, and it'll just make you feel like welcome home, Peter, and we're glad to see you again, and we'll work with you and help you with planning your next incarnation.
Right, but as the identity of the people I knew versus their, let's call it higher soul or oversoul, that is the accumulation of all of their lifetimes.
Yes, it is.
It's the unconscious, for instance, in or subconscious in this lifetime.
Yes, yeah, it'll be their souls you will meet, and they will appear to you in a way that you can recognize them from how you remember them, not necessarily sort of old and, if they died at an old age, but they will be more robust, but you'll clearly recognize them. And as Albert says, souls and spirits can appear in whatever form they want, change it as often as they want, but your welcoming party will appear in a way that will make you feel comfortable, and you will recognize them, and you'll know who they are immediately. And so that's, and of course they will be, you know, once you're back in the spirit side, your soul will regain all the memories and the experiences and the wisdom from all of your previous lifetimes, whether on Earth or elsewhere in the universe. And so you regain all of that. You don't remember any of that now, but that's what will happen once you cross over. So it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, but it's wonderful for you to have this opportunity with Albert to travel around and see. You go to the Hall of Records where you can look at these screens and climb into any lifetime and identify the past, and you had the experience of seeing your interactions with people in previous times where you might have not been conscious of how the other person was responding to you, and then you got to see that in perspective.
Yeah, the interesting thing about the Akashic Records and life reviews is that you get to not only sort of watch, you know, your previous life or, you know, any of your lives beforehand, but you also get to hear and feel the emotions of the people you interact with. So if you, for example, if you said something nasty to a coworker, you actually get to feel their hurt and their pain at your words, even if you didn't intend it. And all too often we say things sort of off the cuff, maybe in a joking manner, that really have a horrible effect on the person at the other end. We just don't realize it. And what that does is, as you realize that, you, when you're going through your life, and it's happened to me, is that I try to be careful about what I say and what I do, because my words and actions may be taken way differently from the person on the other end than I think they should be. And so it makes you think we have to be careful about what we say and what we do.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I'm looking forward to having that experience of going back through this lifetime and reviewing different interactions with people on both sides, you know, and understanding it better.
Yeah, and I just got a couple glimpses of my current life, as I detailed in my second book. I didn't get sort of the full review. I'll get that when I cross over, but that's something I'm looking forward to as well. Now, there's going to be some times when I'm going to kick myself and say I wished I hadn't done that. But it's all part of learning, part of growing, you know.
Right.
And we all make mistakes, and it's a matter of not sort of regretting your mistakes forever, but just learning from them and moving on and resolving to do better the next time. So it's very much of a learning experience to have your life review where you can really get all this detail from what you did in the past.
Well, because we're out there, we understand the bigger picture. So we have more perspective to see the purpose of our life and why we would make mistakes and be able to forgive ourselves so much more easily.
Yeah, absolutely, and we totally forgive ourselves. Excuse me, and the people that we may have harmed also totally forgive us, and there's nothing but unconditional love. So if somebody murdered you in a life on Earth, when you cross over, you don't have any hatred or animosity at all for the perpetrator, because you understand what life on Earth is all about, and you all, you know, get together and say, okay, well, let's I'll try to fix up my mistakes in my next life, and so will the. So will the person who murdered you. So it's really quite a different perspective than what we have on Earth.
Right. So we can see how important it is for people to read both your books, Dancing on a Stamp and Dancing Forever with Spirit. Is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, it's garnetschulhauser.com. And there I have all the buy links for both of my books on, you know, for all the popular online stores. There's information about my books, a synopsis and book videos, and I have my email contact address on my website, and I'd be happy to hear from your listeners with any comments or questions they might have.
Okay, and let me spell it out. GARNETSCHULHAUSER.com, right?
Yes.
Perfect. Good. Thank you, Garnet, so much. I'm so glad you could be a guest on Energy Stew. It's so wonderful talking with you.
Well, thank you for having me, Peter.
Sure, my pleasure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.